Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We are big fans of a good food truck here on the Jennifer Zamparelli Show, and they have, well, they've come a long way, haven't they, from simple, you know, fish and chip vans. Food trucks around the country are producing restaurant-worthy cuisine, and the best of the best are now battling it out on a series on the RT Player. It's called Battle of the Food Trucks. It's actually presented by James Patrice, friend of the show, and comedian Justine Stafford. And she's here in studio. Morning.
Good morning,
Jennifer. Nice to finally meet you.
This is it. Because obviously is it. That's stalking online yeah. and in pandemics. You've yeah. just been following people on social and yeah. you feel like you do know them. And yeah. then you meet them and you're like, actually, we've never met.
We've never actually met. Yeah. So it's great to have you in. Now, for those who don't know, what is Battle of the Food Trucks?
So it's a series that's basically gets six of the best food trucks in Ireland that come mm-hmm. together and they're mm-hmm. competing for the overall title of Food Truck of the Year, essentially. And they're winning up a cash prize of $5,000.
Oh, wow.
For grabs.
Isn't that nice?
It is absolutely
because
lovely.
Sometimes you're like, oh, you get the title yeah. or but they're giving cash
as well. Yeah.
Times have changed.
This is it.
Were you surprised with the level of the quality that on the food trucks? Because
the most I'd known of food trucks was, you know, after a few pints of a Friday night mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. there's a food van, a few chips, which look at, I'll never say no to, like, they're a great standard to begin with for me.
They are.
But this was a new level. You know, this was like, those were the ordinary level. This is the honours class,
okay.
you know. But it was every type of cuisine, things I never even knew were possible for food trucks to even create. Like, yeah. you're getting restaurant quality. These are run by chefs who've had restaurants that are now just doing a food truck. And it is that standard of food. Like, I was seriously jealous of the judges because, okay. yeah.
They got to taste they got, it all. Yeah. And what about the people who have the food trucks? I mean, first of all, it's highly competitive market. Mm. They're chefs. Was there a lot of bitchiness going on? Like, is there drama? Is it like Real Housewives of the food trucks?
A lot of them know each other from having restaurants. So yeah. it's actually a camaraderie in it that you're like, oh my God, I'm getting emotionally attached here. I don't want anyone to lose. Can't they all be winners? You know, sports day, we want everyone to have a participation award. You're like, please, can't we?
Aww.
But that was the thing, because a lot of them knew each other from when they had restaurants.
Okay.
A lot of them as well. It was kind of inspiring because a lot of them had basically, during lockdown, realized that the restaurant really wasn't working, that they decided to go out and create a food truck. And it's really inspiring to hear their stories. It has gone from strength to strength. Because I think a lot of us during the pandemic were like, we can't go to restaurants. What do we actually, we need to get out of the house before we go insane. And you'd find a nice place to go and scream yeah. into the void mm-hmm. and then you'd want food. So you'd go and find a food truck. So
these are a lot of businesses that have pivoted mm-hmm. that word and that's amazing. Well, that'd be amazing to see. Now, apart from the series, you're a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this just a second ago off air. You're going from strength to strength. Tell me about that road, because we were just saying that, you know, your dad still doesn't believe that mm-hmm. you can make a living out of mm-hmm. it and wants you to be a school teacher still. How did you start? How did it all kick off for you?
Well, like, that's the thing. It's like, I started making short films when I was like 13, 14 and entered them in film festivals. And they were always comedy focused short films. And from that, it was just one of the best feelings to have your video shown to an audience and they laughed, and that to me was the best feeling. And so then when it came to doing the Leaving Cert, I was between primary school teaching and doing film, and it was back and forth. I changed the CEO 12 times. I then sent them, I thought I'd made the wrong decision because I'd studied media, and I sent them a big letter apologising, like, I'm so sorry, I just stressed, can I please change back? And I didn't know this was possible, but they sent me back a letter with a big rejected stamp on it. I was like, there's a stamp of that exists, I need that in my life, that would be amazing. Even for Tinder dates or stuff, you're like, that would be ideal. But I did then do media, and from that, see, it was a different time because social media was only just starting.
Yeah.
So this was like, Bebo had just stopped and we were still grieving Bebo, and Facebook was really just starting to take off, but memes were becoming a thing. And this was at a time where people didn't even know how to pronounce the word. It was like, is it a meme? Is it a mem? Is it a meme? Like, you know, it was that era of the internet. And so then after I left college, I started doing more Photoshop stuff and I worked with a radio station, and then I got my work basically seen. A few memes I'd made had done the rounds on the internet, and Joe.e approached me. So they brought me in to do an internship with them, and then I started doing more comedy videos and yeah. like memes. And then it was someone in the Joe office said to me, have you never done stand-up? and why not? And that's basically how I started getting into stand-up then.
Because that's where I spotted you and a lot of people found you on joe.ie and then you just kind of exploded. Just to let people know, you're flying it on TikTok as a content creator. Your videos have clocked up over 2.6 million likes there. Like, that is insane. So just tell people what kind of stuff you post.
You see, that people will say I'm following you on TikTok and I'm like, oh God, what do you know me from? Because there is a wide spectrum of videos being created there. A lot of the time it's like I might be testing stuff that I think might work for stand-up. So I might throw out an idea in just a, some kind of wordy form and see how it goes down. And I'll take that as like, okay, maybe there's something here that I can work on. So there's a range of that, as well as then, because I studied film, like, a lot of my sketches, I'll do different camera angles and, you know.
That really helps.
I think it does.
It really, really helps. The quality of your videos. I mean, they're well put together. So that makes sense that you study film. So, I mean, that just kind of exploded. And then somebody convinced you to do stand-up. Do you remember your first show, where it was?
Yeah, it was in Cherry Comedy and it was my birthday. And the whole crowd sang happy birthday to me as well. So I was like,
oh, they must have liked you.
I think it went down well. I was like, yeah, they're not booing me off. So that's good. But I don't, yeah, I still, like, they're just so different because, you know, on a stand-up night, you could have someone in the audience that's heckling or just a bit rowdy or think that they should be on the stage. And that can affect a whole performance. It can affect a whole show. Whereas the difference with doing online stuff is that, you know, you have full control of what you put out as an edit. But then essentially online, trolls are essentially hecklers online. They fill the void.
They do it with comedy stuff as well, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I just thought it was with people who put up outfits.
Oh, it's everything. It's great that it's there because, you know, in lockdown, we didn't have hecklers in clubs. So they needed somewhere to go.
Ah, they did.
They did. So it's great that they had online comics. And just
create. And what about the stand-up? I always wonder, in the stand-up community, which is predominantly male, were they welcoming? Did they take you under their wing or did they slap you on the arse and be really sick? Like, what was it like walking into that environment?
I brought a lot of friends as well from work. So that was kind of, people tell you two things of like, don't tell anyone you're doing your first gig and don't do it like to people you know. So I brought a few people from work. So it was a bit of a mix of like, I didn't know anyone else in the audience. But in terms of people who were in the club, like, they were so supportive and then wanted to bring me back for another gig. So I took that as a pure, okay, maybe I'm onto something here, you know. But as well, I tend to be friends with a lot of guys as well anyway, so a lot of the friends I have in comedy are, you know, guys that, and I've never found that, like, they've always been very helpful with me, and also they're very honest of if I've had a bad
gig. You kind of need that.
You do,
don't you?
This thing, if I know in myself that I did a bad gig and I know someone is telling me you did great, I'm like, oh no,
we're not friends anymore.
Not, yeah.
And you need, and that's the thing about stand-up comedy, you see people do it. I mean, I remember seeing Joanne McNally years ago, but just the difference. I mean, you need that space to grow and you need someone to tell you that you're shit and you need to make, you need to make those mistakes, but it's the hardest place to do it because you make all your mistakes in front of an audience.
That's the thing, it's a very, very hard thing to do because you're literally watching yourself bomb on stage. And again, it's great to have support friends and a lot of the girls in that as well that are just so understanding of, like, we're on this together. And as well, because we have to back each other because it has been quite a, you know, male dominated environment that
for too
it's
long.
Great to see.
For too long.
And it's great to see so many, you know, female comics.
There's
along,
so. Yeah, doing so well. What's the goal?
Oh, I honestly, I think from my background of doing film, I love bringing comedy into visuals for the screen. So I think having my own comedy series or working more in comedy would be the dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can't just be in, you have to write it and produce it. And
yeah.
You'd want to do everything. You'd want to DOP it, you'd want to do it all.
Yeah. See, I'd want to be involved in the acting in it, writing it, in the DOP. There's a lot.
I think RC are probably like, they'd love that because it'd be cheaper because it's just hire you to do everything. You can do everything.
Yeah, I've, you know, a few ideas in the can that could work.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think she can shoot it and cut it and edit it and everything.
The Great Irish Wake Off, all right? It's two families go dead to dead to see who can throw the best funeral. I've got ideas, RC. Call me up.
I love it. Don't say anymore because someone is going to rob that. Now, listen, the series that we are here to talk about is sponsored by 7 Up Free. And they've actually given us an amazing prize to give away on the show every day this week. It's time now to tell our listeners how they can win. I am very excited about this. Probably too much because I have one myself. And it literally, like the Dyson and my children, it changed my life, right? It is a Mini Max Big Green Egg barbecue. They're worth nearly €1,000 and perfect for having a brilliant summer barbecue. All you got to do to enter is listen out for this sound. I'm going to play it during the show at some point, okay? When you hear that, it could be in the middle of a song, could be out of a break, it could be in the middle of me talking. As soon as you hear it, all you got to do is text the words 7UpFree and your name to 51552. Then if you get a call back from a random number, right, make sure you answer your phone today and answer with the phrase of the day. You were given the phrase. Do you remember the phrase?
It's a bit of a tongue twister. I'm not going to lie. So it is... Fizz and fun in the sun.
Fizz and fun in the sun. Absolutely mortal for you having to say that when you answer the phone on national radio. Fizz and fun in the sun is the phrase that pays. If you say hello or anything else, or you're going to lose. If you don't answer, goes to voicemail, you lose. So don't mess it up. There's a barbecue worth over a grand. Have you a barbecue?
I don't. I didn't even know the price range there. They're that, wow.
Yeah. The green egg, this is a different thing.
Yeah.
This is like the Lamborghini of barbecues. And it looks class.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get all skanky. It's ceramic. It's very sexy barbecue.
I tend to find, though, at a barbecue, it's always a father manning the whole thing. It's like, do you have that? Is there...
Oh, I haven't a clue how to use mine.
Okay.
Lou does it. It looks good. The big green egg, we had to get the green egg because he set my garden on fire with the last one because he was on FaceTime to his mother. And she was still on FaceTime while the garden was on fire and he was telling me to call the fire brigade. So this is a lot safer, I do find. And now you're on telly... And on the player, you need to ask for free stuff. And this would be the first thing I'd be asking.
Okay.
I'll give you lessons in getting free stuff. Well, Justine Stafford, thank you so much for coming into us this morning. Battle of the Food Trucks hits RT Player tomorrow, July 5th. Go check it out. And if people want to follow you on TikTok or Instagram or any of that, where do they go?
Just Justine Stafford. That should bring it up.
Justine Stafford. It's as simple as that. Thanks for coming in.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.